Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jill. How are you?
Oh, just swell. Ho, 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 and fa-la-la-la, and happy Hanukkah, and tis the season, and all that good stuff.
Festivus for the rest of us.
That's it. I knew I missed something. Festivus for the rest of us.
Yes. And as usual, it's being celebrated in lots of places with lots of toasts to the end of the season and hopeful whatevers for the beginning of next year. And what a lot of people I'm finding are starting to realize is that a lot of these parties that are sponsored by their workplaces, and I'm sure that corporations and factories and everybody else has sort of gotten together to say, you know, this could be a liability problem, so let's think about this for a minute. Because I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm going to the office due, but it's not going to be any fun because it's like an open bar, but only for the first hour. Or it's a two-drink maximum, and that's it. And this is, you know, a definite shift in the culture where, you know, as recently as 5 years ago, open bar basically meant open until everything was shut down and the bartenders would continue to serve, you know, because people would continue to ask and untoward things happen and sometimes unfortunate or even fatal things happen. And I think there's a whole lot less tolerance for that now.
Yeah, and I think that just along the way, I don't want to get grim at this time of the year, but the whole personal responsibility thing needs a makeover.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So because of that, and I just remember because it makes me feel just incredibly ancient at this juncture. it does, because I was raised to just like, yeah, okay, you messed up, you fix it.
Yeah.
It wasn't negotiable. It wasn't, oh, but mom, it was just, yeah, no, figure it out.
Yeah, that's the old school way, but I think
understand.
The new school way is a little different.
I'm just saying that unless you speak that language or at least were, you know, had some bits of it in your transition, there are a lot of people who don't even think about the fact that, well, mm-hmm. in fact, if your employer lets you get totally wasted and
mm-hmm.
then lets you drive home, then
yeah.
something bad happens, which is the probability increases tremendously.
Yeah.
That someone's going to come after them.
Mm-hmm.
Just is.
Well, yeah. And I think that, you know, the people who are going to do well in this environment are the people who are going to figure out that, yes, the culture has changed, but it's changed relatively quickly. Because I remember even just a few years ago, friends who went to a party sponsored by people in the gaming industry said, oh, it was great. There was a full bar and there was lots of dinner that we ate standing up because it was sort of cocktail party situation. And it was whatever. And then they told us ahead of time, you know, you can do what you want because we're making you all take Ubers home. So that was the beginning of, I think, places realizing, yeah, we don't want you people on the street. And we're not taking your word for it. Everybody leave their car in a company parking lot, and you will be taking an Uber home at our expense because we're not having it. So I think people were kind of amused, and they thought, wow, I can even get wilder with this because, you know, I'm just going to be in the back of a car and have to stumble to my front door and whatever. I think now there's even, it's gotten to stage two, which is, we are serving alcohol, but we're not serving a lot of it because some people don't pace themselves. And some people do think that open bar means, you know, open to you for several hours in a row, no matter how well you metabolize alcohol. So we're going to make the decision for you. You can have up to two drinks on us. We're not selling you any after that. And if you feel like you need to drink more, then you will have to leave our party and go elsewhere. And I think it's a shock to the system, but I think people will get used to it. And it's probably cheaper than putting everybody in Ubers and sending them home.
Yeah, and I think there's that. And then I also think that, you know, we might as well just know that some people behave well and some people don't behave well.
Yeah, and in the current climate of, you know, I was touched without my permission and I didn't ask for it, alcohol doesn't help.
Right.
Because people have been known to get handsy at festivities like this. And because they have, you know, that gives rise to a whole other set of repercussions. And why have it? Why not just, you know, toast and coast?
And, yeah. And just at least appreciate that during times of there's actually another element to that. In times that are fraught or stressed, where everybody's, you know, just...
Yes. That people may drink more than they normally would.
Just to relax. You know, and I'm, you know, you can't see my little quoties. It's not that. It's just if you've been in the maelstrom and, you know, the pace of life has just been such where it's like being... It's like watching a very, very high intensity ping pong match, let's just say.
Yeah.
Very overwrought commentators, you know. Mm-hmm. That if you're actually at some sort of social occasion where the pace is a little slower, you know, it's a good way to get into the spirit, if you will. And
yeah.
Again, in this particular climate where let's just say that you know, nobody quite knows what the other person is going, how someone's going to respond to something.
Yeah.
There are just more places for misunderstanding than there have been of late.
Yeah, and I think that's why the Washington Post, I think it was yesterday or the day before, was showing a graph of the number of office parties, official parties, whatever, office, factory, political office, that, have cut back on the amount of alcohol they serve. And, interesting new twist, a rising number of places that serve no alcohol at all, period. You know, it's like you want it, you're going to have to go have a drink after. And one of the benefits somebody noticed was, well, the food's really great because they're not spending any money on alcohol.
Right, so how did they deal with the a person who likes a glass of wine with the meal? Were they able to order it separately? For example, I'm just curious.
I don't know. They didn't get into specifics, but I think.
Here's a beautiful meal that just is aching for a nice Bordeaux, but there's no alcohol.
Well, you know, a lot of places don't do sit-down dinners anymore.
Okay.
You know, that's sort of gone the way of the crinoline.
My crinolines, thank you.
Yeah. they will serve past hors d'oeuvres, or there'll be, you know, a buffet of things, or it's more casual food and music, but they don't necessarily serve a three-course dinner. Now, you know, White Shoe Law Firm or brokerage firm, those guys probably still do, and they're probably not worrying about whether or not their people drink too much because they're all going home in private cars. But less exalted workplaces are starting to grapple with this.
Okay, right. Well, less exalted work, and I don't even want to say exalted, but yeah, because...
Well, exalted in terms of income.
Right.
You know, if your bonus is $1.5 million a year, you're probably less
you're not
receptive
not
to people
this
telling
stuff,
you whether
right?
you can drink and whether you can't drink.
I understand.
But I think it's not just workplaces either. I think it's also hosts in private homes who are starting to think about this. You know, I have been places where people have taken car keys and said, this is why I have a guest room and a sofa bed. You'll be staying with me tonight, and ushering the befuddled person who has availed themselves of the open bar in a private house upstairs to sleep it off until the next morning. And I think some people are getting much less worried about, am I going to insult this person, my friend or my neighbor or whatever, if I say, hey, this is the deal? Or, you know, are they going to be relieved, or are they not even going to think about it? And when they wake up the next morning, go, I'm at Karen's house. How'd that happen? This is how that happened. Karen took your keys because you and Johnny Walker had gotten extraordinarily friendly, and we didn't know what was going to happen. So better you stay with me tonight. So people, plump up your extra pillows, pull out your old airbed, get ready if you're going to have a party, because you might have extra people staying with you for the night.
And I have to say that, once again, making me feel that was something that we just naturally did.
Back in the day, people did.
Yeah, just because, or made pre-arrangements if you knew that, you know, for easy enough. I lived in a totally unpopulated part of Manhattan, truly unfashionable. And, you know, if someone had to come down or come into town or whatever, they weren't necessarily going to be driving home.
Yes, you hear many a story from little kids about, Uncle Will slept in my bed last night, so I had to sleep in the living room with the Christmas tree on the couch. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, and so that's just
the
part of it.
Uncle Will, the young people won't be scarred for life if they have to sleep on the couch one night. Couches are for young people.
And the other thing about young people having that experience is it helps them when they're older people. They've got a frame of reference for, oh, right, that's why. Oh, right.
Let me provide this option for a few of my friends. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so much of it is passed along and does evolve. And, you know, sadly, I don't think that with screens, there's not as much time for, oh, yeah, their evolution. It's, okay, it was this way and now it's that way. And actually, it isn't like that.
It feels like a very sudden flip. But I think this is something people have been mulling for a while. It's just like the consumption of hard liquor goes up and down. You know, in the Mad Men era, that's what people drank, and only really rich, really sophisticated people drank wine with any consistency. Or maybe if you were an immigrant and that was the tradition where you came from, you would do it. But most people were having, you know, highballs and old fashions and just knocking them back in shot glasses. And then they stopped doing, well, it didn't stop, but it dropped a lot. And now with the rise of, again of Mad Men, the show, and, you know, a lot of retro stuff, and young people who weren't even around when people were drinking heavily, being curious about alcohol and mixed drinks and thinking they're sophisticated and liking the taste, you know, and getting into things like craft beer, which has a lot less alcohol, but that also means that people consume a lot more of it sometimes. We're finding that people are drinking again, but maybe not always and maybe not to excess. So watching it at your workplace party is probably a really good idea.
Thank you very much, Karen Grigsby-Bates. Do the right thing.
Well, I won't wish you a Merry Christmas, because in England, Merry apparently means you're inebriated, which is why they never say it. They wish you a Happy Christmas, and in that case, you can drink or not drink. So Happy Christmas, all.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby-Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.